voice is WXCO Warsaw. And welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, studying the book of Revelation, verse by verse, and we come today to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And if you are able, grab your own copy of Scripture and follow along with me, verse by verse. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The Apostle John is writing this, describing what he heard and saw. And he begins in verse 1 by saying, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" I will show you what must take place after this. Well, now we know who's talking to John, don't we? Has to be God. God is the only one who can tell us what will happen in the future. Nostradamus doesn't have a clue. God is the only one. God knows. Because he is already in the future. God is eternal. He is in the past, the present, and the future. It's all the same to him. So he knows what's going to happen in the future. He's already there. And God knows because he determines the future. What God determines will happen, must happen. And we are along for the ride. And so God's going to show John some future things. And we read in verse 2. Look at this. "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." So in verse 1, God said, "Come up here." In verse 2, John was there. When God tells you to go to heaven, you're going to heaven. When God says it's time to go, we go, and we have no choice in the matter. And the first thing John saw in heaven, the very first thing that he saw, was God on his throne. God is on his throne. Lesson: God rules. There may be chaos for a season on earth, but it is working together to bring about the sovereign purposes of God. God has not lost control. He is letting evil run its course, but he has not lost control. He is still sovereign. In all of our troubles, God is still on the throne. God knows all, sees all, and has a handle on all things. God is sovereign. And even our sins and our mistakes, they do not derail God's plan. They do not knock God off of his throne. Nothing can cause his will to spin out of control. Not our sins, no one else's sins. Not our mistakes, no one else's mistakes. God is still sovereign. The Bible says his plans and his purposes cannot be thwarted. If somebody makes a mistake, if somebody commits a sin, he just applies that to his plan and to his sovereign purposes. And in the end, everything works out the way he wants it to. Verse 3. "And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne." Just fantastic beauty, fantastic colors. Beauty beyond description is how God is described by the Apostle John. it's going to make us feel good to see God in heaven. It's going to be a good feeling. However he may present himself to us. We feel good when we see a rainbow, right? I don't care how many rainbows you see. You can be 90 years old and still see a rainbow. You say, man, that's neat. We feel good when we see a rainbow. Or maybe some pretty flowers. Or how about new fallen snow that sparkles like a trillion diamonds? Because it's beauty. And God made us to enjoy beauty. And so that's why we're going to enjoy the presence of God. Because he is pure beauty through and through. It's a positive thing. To quote Mike McCarthy. Verse 4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And these are people who made it to heaven. They're dressed in white and they have golden crowns. Their white garments picture their sinlessness. Their gold crown shows that they are prosperous. Good news. No sin in heaven. No poverty in heaven. Verse 5. There's more. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Lightning and thunder like you never saw before, coming from the throne of God. An amazing show of power from God is what this is. In heaven, we will be happy. We will enjoy God's presence. And we will always be aware of his great power. I really believe part of God's beauty is his power. And it will always cause us to be in awe of him. And to have a healthy fear of him as well. There's more. Verse 6. Look what else John saw. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And John sees a sea of glass, not that there was a sheet of glass there, but that there was a sea, and it was so calm, it looked like a sheet of glass. Calm waters in heaven. Again, God is communicating to us. Everything is okay. Everything is safe. So you're going to be feeling good. You're going to be enjoying God's presence. You're going to feel safe. You're going to feel like everything's okay. You're going to be in awe of God's power. Look at verses 6 through 8. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Now listen to this in verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under their wings. And day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." I'm glad I'm going to feel safe in heaven. I'm glad I'm going to feel calm in heaven. Because from the description of these four living creatures, I'm going to need all the help I can get. Boy, they are something else, aren't they? But notice, nonstop worship of God. These beings just described exist for the sole purpose of worshiping the Lord. Lesson, God deserves our worship. If we can't do anything else but worship God, we can still do the most important thing. We serve God when we worship God. Now, maybe these creatures weren't the most beautiful creatures God ever made, but you'd have a hard time finding happier creatures anywhere in God's creation. I don't care how they looked. And that's because it is hard, if not impossible, to be sad while worshiping the Creator. In fact, a sure cure for depression, worshiping God, praising God. Let spontaneous praise and worship of God flow from your lips. You have a hard time staying depressed and sad. Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. Verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne. So notice how praise and worship begets more praise and worship. It's contagious. When those who have a heart for Christ begin to praise Christ, and then others hear them worshiping the Lord, well, they'll be stirred to worship the Lord as well. Our heartfelt devotion to Jesus Christ will probably turn some ungodly people off. But at the same time, it'll be a blessing to others who are devoted to Christ as well as being a blessing to God. And this is what is said in verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord and God. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And so they praise God. And they say, you are worthy. God is worthy of our honor. Because without God, we would not be. We would never have been made. God brought us into existence. And he gives us all the good things we enjoy in our existence. God should be honored and thanked and appreciated. He should be served and praised. Because he is why we are here in the first place. Let's move into chapter 5. Verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Well, it says in verse 2, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. And I can tell you ahead of time that the word of God is written on this scroll concerning the future. And the question is asked by an angel in heaven, who is worthy to break the seals and open up this scroll? And I can tell you, there's only one who is worthy. Only one who is worthy of anything. And it isn't any here mere human being. No son or daughter of Adam is worthy of anything except divine wrath. And in case you think I'm being too harsh, consider what the Bible says. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the Bible says, and the wages of sin is death. That's about the only thing we have earned is death, physical death and spiritual death because of our sin. And so the question is asked, who is worthy? The answer is given in verse 3. Listen, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. There's your answer. Who is worthy? No one. No one has been good enough. Not even any of the people in heaven have been good enough. Now that might surprise you. Did you know that good people do not go to heaven? A lot of people think, because I think it's natural to think in these terms, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's not true. You can't find that taught in Scripture at all. Good people do not go to heaven. The Bible says there are none who are righteous. By God's definition, no, not one. Jesus said there's only one who is good, and that's God. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. I'm going to take a quick break. Please listen to this. I'll be back in 1 minute. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret.
This is by the way. You know, the older I get, the more I admire those who refuse to give up on life. Some find themselves in situations that might lead many of us to throw in the towel, but they don't, and you seldom hear them complain. Some say that kind of positive stick-to-itive attitude is just in the DNA of some people. Some say it's the result of attitudes acquired early in life. Actually, it may be many things. But I know for sure that one possession can very significantly contribute to a positive spirit, even in the midst of trying circumstances: faith in Jesus Christ. This Lord in whom they have faith has earthly tasks for them yet to perform. And it's just nice to know that today, tomorrow, and always are in His hands. This is By the Way.
And welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. If you'd like to help us get out the Word of God, you can send your gifts to Post Office Box, to Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. Drop us a line. Let us know that you appreciate these studies through the Word of God, would you? And now back to our study in the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 5, and we resume our study in verse number 4. Actually, let's go back and begin reading in verse 2. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept and wept, John says, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. John wanted truth. He wanted the Word of God. But it looks like he won't be getting any. No one is able to open up this scroll. And we see from this that true Christians hunger for truth from God's Word. And when they don't get it, they feel kind of dry. They feel kind of bad. In fact, that's one of the things that distinguishes a Christian from a non-Christian. A non-Christian can go without the truth of God's Word. It doesn't bother them one bit. But a Christian hungers for the Word of God. Like the Bible says, like a newborn babe desires the milk. So no one was found. John feels bad. Then verse 5, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" The Lion of the tribe of Judah can do it. The Root of David can do it. That's talking about Jesus. No one else could do it, but Jesus can. Jesus does what no one else can do. Jesus does for us what we can't do. Take it one step further. He does what we need to have done. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is everything. And that is why he should be everything to a Christian. Far and away, the most important thing. Verse 6, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." And so John sees a lamb sitting in the middle of the throne of God. And of course, that lamb is Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who takes away the sins of the world. And we see from this again that Jesus is the focus of heaven. Because without Jesus, no one would get there. No human being would be there. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince the world that Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain to pay for our sins. There's one Lamb in the presence of God, and we see it in this vision. And that Lamb is Jesus. There is one sacrifice for sin for the entire world, and it is Jesus. Jesus was slain for the sins of man. He paid for our sins when he died on the cross. And here we see a picture of Jesus, God's sacrificial lamb on our behalf, standing on God's throne in heaven, again, the centerpiece of heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. It says, he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Notice how everyone bows down before the Lamb of God in heaven. Jesus is worshipped in heaven. The Bible predicted that on earth he would be despised and rejected by men, and he certainly was. Jesus may be despised and rejected on earth, but he is worshipped in heaven by the people who are there because they know that they would not have even made it there if Jesus had not paid for their sins. And that's why they worship him. You know, people in heaven obviously know more than people on earth. They know which religion is the correct one. They know that not all roads lead to heaven. They know which religion is the correct one. They know it's Jesus. And that's why everyone in heaven worships him. And notice verse 9, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You purchased men with your blood, they say to Jesus. Talking about our redemption. Jesus redeems sinners. The word redeem means he bought us back. If you are a Christian, you have been bought back. You say, well, that's nice. Bought back from where? Back from the road to hell. We sold our souls to hell by our sin, and we cannot correct the situation. So Jesus paid for our sins and corrected the situation for us. Jesus redeemed us out of the mess that we put ourselves into because of our sin. That's why they worship Jesus. Verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Talking about people that Jesus saves. You know, when Jesus saves a sinner, he saves them well. He saves them thoroughly. Not just from hell, but he saves us to rule and reign on earth. In other words, we are not doomed to a life controlled by sin. We are saved to reign, meaning we are saved and empowered to rule over our sin natures. Now, are we going to do it perfectly? I wish. No. Never perfectly, not until the day we die. But at any given moment, we can have victory over our sin nature because Christ set us free to have that victory. The Bible says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you because you're not under law, but under grace. By the grace of God, we can have victory over sin. He has saved us to reign. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Verse 12, in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. What worship there is of Christ. What a contrast to the way it was on earth when he was here. The people on earth said Jesus should be nailed to the cross. Remember when Pilate brought him out? What did the people say? Crucify him. Crucify him. The people on earth said Jesus should be nailed to the cross. The people in heaven say Jesus deserves honor. The people on earth said kill him. The people in heaven say worship him. And those who recognize that Jesus should receive worship while they are still on earth, they are the ones who will worship the Lord in heaven. The people who do not worship Christ, the people who do not follow Christ on earth, will not be there to worship him in heaven. In other words, the people who get to heaven are the ones who worship Christ, the ones who have received him as Lord and Savior. Jesus, despised and rejected on earth, but worshipped in heaven. And Christians often despised and rejected on earth, but worshipers of Jesus in heaven. It's like Christ said, if they have persecuted the teacher, they will also persecute the students, the followers. That's the way it is. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Verse 13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The Bible says that every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And that is what this verse pictures. That is exactly what you're seeing here in verse 13. What's the message? The message to God's people from the Lord is this: do not fret when you suffer for the sake of your faith in Jesus Christ, like so many of these original readers were. Do not fret, because those who persecute will one day know that they were wrong, and they will regret what they have done. And they would never believe it in a million years, but one day they also will bow before Jesus Christ. They will bend their knee before the Lord on Judgment Day, before they are punished. They will bend the knee, and they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he will have what he has coming from his creation. Verse 14, the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. They worshiped the one, the Bible says, who lives forever and ever. Do you know that Jesus lives forever and ever? The only time a king would lose his throne is if he died. Jesus isn't dying. I got bad news for sinners who won't repent. Sinners cannot vote Jesus out of office. And if they are hoping that he will pass away and be succeeded by someone who might be a little bit more sympathetic to their sinful ways, they can forget it. Because Jesus' kingdom has no end. He lives forever and ever. He's the one that we must deal with. He is the one who died and saved us. And he keeps us saved if we belong to him. He is the eternal Savior for those who have received him as Lord and Savior. He is the eternal judge for those who reject him. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. You can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want to study the Word of God further, check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website. That can be found at meret.org. Let me spell that for you. meurett.org. You can study the entire Bible online for free using my audio Bible commentaries. Again, that web address, meret.org, meurett.org. If you're looking for a place to worship this Sunday morning, you're welcome to come and join us. We meet at 10 o'clock at Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. That's 10 o'clock, Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. I'm with you every Sunday morning here on 1230 The Voice. Thank you for spending this time with me. Have a great week. See you again next time. So long, everyone.
Call it ya, till it do a tete call, till you're mutai.